following day, Pierce and Edgar watched the midday routine of the office. At 1 o'clock, the London Bridge station was crowded with passengers coming and going, porters hauling luggage behind elegant travellers on their way to coaches, hawkers shouting refreshments for sale, and 3 or 4 policemen moving around, keeping order and watching for buzzers, pickpockets, since train stations were becoming their new favourite haunt. The dipper would nail his quarry as he boarded the train, and the victim would not discover the robbery until he was well out of London. The association of pickpockets with train stations became so notorious that when William Frith painted one of the most famous pictures of his generation, The Railway Station, in 1862, the chief focus of the composition was two detectives pinching a thief. Now the London Bridge Station had several Metropolitan Police constables, and the railway companies had private guards as well. "It's fair a swarm with Miltonians," Edgar said unhappily, looking around the station platforms. "Never mind that," Pierce said. He watched the railway office. At 1 o'clock, the clerks clambered down the iron stairs, chattering among themselves, off to lunch. The traffic manager, a stern gentleman in mutton chop whiskers, remained inside. The clerks were back at 2 o'clock, and the office routine resumed. The next day, the manager went to lunch, but two of the clerks remained behind, skipping lunch. By the third day, they knew the pattern. One or more of the men in the office went to lunch for an hour at 1 o'clock, but the office was never left unattended. The conclusion was clear. "No daylight gammon," Edgar said. "Perhaps Sunday," Pierce said, thinking aloud. In those days, and indeed to the present day, the British railway system strongly resisted operations on the Sabbath. It was considered unnecessary and unseemly for any company to do business on Sunday, and the railways in particular had always shown an oddly moralistic bent. For example, smoking in railway carriages was forbidden long after smoking became a widespread custom in society. A gentleman who wished to enjoy a cigar was obliged to tip the railway porter, another forbidden act, and this state of affairs continued, despite the intense pressure of public opinion, until 1868, when Parliament finally passed a law forcing the railways to allow passengers to smoke. Similarly, although everyone agreed that the most God-fearing men sometimes needed to travel on the Sabbath, and although the popular custom of weekend excursions provided ever more pressure for Sunday schedules, the railways fought stubbornly against this trend. In 1854, the South Eastern Railway ran only 4 trains on Sunday, and the other line that used London Bridge, the London and Greenwich Railway, ran only 6 trains, less than half the usual number.